You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Arizona lawmakers recently passed a bill that would grant law enforcement officers the right to stop and question anyone they might suspect of being an undocumented migrant. The bill is titled SB 1070, and it has ignited criticism and protest as well as support across the United States. Some see it as a form of unconstitutional racial profiling, while 10 other states are modeling their own legislation after it. Perhaps less reported, however, is how grassroots movements are organizing against this bill. Alex Soto is a volunteer with the Odom Solidarity Across Borders Collective and member of the Tohono O'odham First Nation. He joins me from Arizona. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
How is this legislation being justified?
It's being justified here in the state to, I guess, fix the, in their eyes, their broken immigration policy in the country. And it's like, in a sense, being put out there by the state of Arizona as a way to, I guess, do the job that the federal government won't. So now it says the states have this authority with this law to be able to be profiling the way that they want to do, but they're saying it's not about racial profiling, it's about forcing the law of the land, which is, you know, illegal immigration in their eyes is a freaking law. So since the federal government won't do it, the state will have to, which is a very colonial framework to, you know, start off with, you know.
And what do you mean by colonial? Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes. I mean, that's just how the media, how the politicians, how even national immigration reformist activists will like to put it in those simple terms, that this is only about one law that's going to affect, you know, the list of, you know, negatives that this law does. When I say colonial, I'm saying that it's recognizing the fact that we are in a system that these lines, these borders that they're saying that people are breaking are not the natural law of the land. Natural law, you know, is that this is still native indigenous land of southern Arizona. This is Otham land, Dona Otham, Akamo Otham land. And this is where who I am, where my ancestors and my people are from. So when they're trying to enforce these laws on the land, you know, and here people are just trying to come this way because of repression, which the same government has affected down south where their homelands are at. Now they're caught in this network of economic displacement and people from the movement, from the politicians, of course, obviously the state, you know, in general, doesn't want to recognize these bigger issues that this bill is trying to solve in their eyes, in the eyes of the state, that this is going to fix their problem by regulating on migrants. But then again, the opposition to it, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a good position to start, no racial profiling for migrants, but we should be questioning more or recognizing more than just the colonial framework of how this argument is being put out there on both sides.
Now, Alex, here in Canada, we haven't heard as much about all the different people actually involved in fighting this legislation. And I understand there are people from your nation, the Tohono O'odham, who oppose it. What's motivating people from your nation to get involved?
Well, I mean, in terms of myself and other individuals that are from, you know, who, my community, you know, we're only speaking for ourselves the best that we can with this message and this voice. I mean, there's other people like Ophelia Rebus, another Donna Altham woman who's been doing this for some time and trying to address the border issues. So I want to kind of put that in perspective real quick. But as far as people myself, you know, the youth that a couple that we do work with, and just in general, the other Altham youth, people who are helping, who are not part of the system, who are not part of the debate as far as the politicians are, this and that, we feel that this is undermining our way of life as Altham, you know. This law is not just going to affect migrants or Mexicans or however they, whatever they want to say. It's going to affect anybody who's brown, but even worse, it's going to affect the indigenous of the land. And what I've been trying to do and our collective has been trying to do and all of us in general from a grassroots level have been trying to express that, yes, we oppose the bills for all the obvious reasons, but two, we just need to start thinking past that bill. And we see this as an opportunity to engage our own communities, you know, and also other people outside of it about this history, this colonial history that's not been able to be really mentioned and put in perspective. You know, what we've been doing with our collective has been able to, at the very least, put that information out. Say, this is still native land. This is that clear. And then two, this border is not a border we recognize, and we just recognize why this border has been built. And then we'll fast forward to now, why the border is being built here in southern Arizona. It's because people are coming across because of, you know, the forced migration. And the reason that I'm so, you know, vocal and made me want to do something about it is that I see that the immigration movement is calling for immigration reform, of course, which is good to help people, but this reform always includes border security, which is basically border militarization, which will basically mean, okay, we'll help everybody else in this country, you know, I don't know how, whatever they would do in the system to make them legalized, as they put it, but it's going to be at the expense of a border wall. And I think too many people don't want to connect that the border militarization and bills like SB 1070, they're all the same. Why was it the day before our governor here, not my governor, but the state of Arizona's governor, passed or announced more troops to the border, you know, and then the next day she passes SB 1070? Why is it now that Obama, his response to it is now about, in general, about immigration reform, is to send 2,000 troops to the border? That was put out yesterday. So these things are all interconnected, and it's very difficult to put that out there to my own community sometimes because it is really some big shit. But, you know, I speak to my elders and the people I go to advice, and I've been told that this message needs to be put out there, and it's that way. And we'll have to see how our own communities will react in a more unified, organized way. But for now, the best that we can do is myself, with the support of traditional elders, is to put that message out and just pray, you know, and keep that in our heart that we can definitely, you know, connect these issues and be able to organize and maybe offer possible solutions. Because right now, border militarization, I mean, you all are going through it up north in Canada. I mean, this is a big monster. We need to figure out how to, you know, with opportunity like SB 1070 to connect the dots to this border monster.
And your nation is actually straddling the border.
Yes, we are 75 miles of our southern part of the reservation is on the international line. Because with awesome people, the awesome who I am, we're on both sides of the colonial border. I have family on the other side. Many have family, and then we also have, you know, this general ceremonial reasons, traditional reasons that we cross these borders. You know that they're most of our history, even after the border was established between the U.S. and Mexico, was not a problem. We didn't recognize it. We still crossed it. I remember when I was 8 or 9 years old going to, you know, down the border area exactly. You know, and seeing it was just a chicken wire fence. You know, something you easily just up and walk over, and now seeing it, it's vehicle barriers, and that's my concern and other youth's concern, is that this has happened at an incredible and a very fast rate, where, you know, now they want a wall. You hear John McCain, you hear Kyle, Obama, even now, they all want a wall. And my thing is that why is that this militarization is being supported by immigration reform activists who want to say all this stuff about human rights but don't see that part of their reform is going to offer a militarization clause within it. So, yeah, our nation does straddle the border, and of course our tribal government tried its best to voice its opposition to it, but due to the, you know, the relationship that nations here in the United, you know, First Nations have here with the United States, it's very difficult to really put that into work. And I understand that, and I understand they're trying their best, and I respect that, but my thing is their best is not cutting it, and if young people like myself are trying to take action in a way that's going to hopefully get more people involved and understand these things and also show to these people that we mean business the best way that we can, I would hope that, you know, we'll have that space to do so, because we're not trying to speak for the whole tribe or the whole nation. You know, we're just individuals the best that we can, and that we're putting that message out there. So.
Now, there's a lot of action happening on the ground. You were part of an occupation of the Border Patrol headquarters. There's a boycott growing, or calls for boycotts growing across the country, boycotting the state of Arizona. And then there's the big protests happening this Saturday. Where do you see the movement going from here? And what goals do you think can be made?
Well, interesting dynamics, you know, after the border patrol occupation that we did, You know, it was very slow to get around in Arizona, I think due to the fact that maybe it was a Friday and it was a bad day as far as press goes. But, I mean, we definitely got some major press yesterday with the publications here in Phoenix. Tucson actually did a pretty decent job to cover it. And it's kind of actually put the reformist movement kind of organizing like this massive march on Saturday in a position where now they have to, like, the very least, be open to what we're saying, to the point that their organizers, who this was, you know, 2-3 months ago when they were part of the plan, and who is to say maybe this is their true solidarity or not, are now trying to ask the indigenous nations to lead this march on Saturday, which I feel is very good, and it's a good step that now here, okay, we're having our people, indigenous people, recognized within this struggle from people that they made their calls out to, but more importantly, awesome people, my elders, have been are going to be part of this march, leading the march, and they're going to have banners and messages that basically break down this whole issue in solidarity with SB 1070, really just showing the dots, because, you know, I'm speaking to elders I've talked to, it's like, there's no difference, you know, what's going on, with they're interchangeable, so, you know, to put that message out in that way, and hopefully on the mass level show that, and hopefully get people critically thinking and questioning things, I think that's really good, compared to previous times up to this point, where myself and other people in the collective and other affinity groups have been saying the same thing, you know, if it was Mexican comrades, or know, white comrades or just other indigenous comrades, and us getting harassed by the reformist movement, us getting in a sense censored, threatened to call the police on us, just to be out there holding No Borders banners or just giving us a hard time, you know, for months now. So I mean, for me at least, where I'm coming from and comrades I work with and who, you know, understand these issues, this is going to be a good opportunity to reclaim that space and hopefully, you know, get people thinking what's going on, that, you know, this is indigenous land, and if you really want our elders out there and our traditional people leading this march, this is what they're going to say, and you need to support that and respect that, and if they're going to have them leading it, I think that shows that they do, so it's hold them to that and keep pushing this dialogue further so we can have a bigger dialogue, which right now I think it's in the works, so I mean, on the ground here in Phoenix in Arizona.
And how would you recommend people here in Canada support the movement in Arizona or across the United States in opposition to legislation like this, or maybe this exact legislation?
I mean, I would definitely respect like all the other calls being put out by other organizations. You know, I applaud them for the efforts that they're doing. But, you know, one thing I would also include within what the calls that you would hear here in Arizona, like the boycott or just in general, you know, let's say, all the things that you probably heard, is also to recognize the fact that there's indigenous, you know, First Nations still here. And someone like myself, you know, you go to our blog spot, you know, we're very clear. You know, we're very new. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, we're just some organization and we're doing, this is very grassroots. And this is our first time, you know, where these opportunities to put this message out are there. So, I mean, just check out our blog. There's plenty of things, you know, we post and, you know, you can donate if you like, or you just, in general, just go to the blog. And you can check out, you know, what's going on. You know, maybe you want to get plugged in. Maybe you have resources for where we're coming from. Because we work with other groups, you know, from the Dene Nation, you know, up, you know, the Navajos up north, Hopis. You know, we're trying to really connect these issues so we have a more statewide solidarity so we can be there on the ground more. And also to support our comrades who are doing other things and how we help out with that. So, that's, I guess, just check out the blog to sum it up. And if you feel the need to donate some money, we do have an option on there to help us out with printing and, you know, this gas, things that a nonprofit has, and people like us are just grassroots getting by, you know?
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us on the air.
Okay, thank you.
I've been speaking with Alex Soto. He is a volunteer with the Odom Solidarity Across Borders Collective and a member of the Tohono O'odham Nation. If you would like more information on the new SB 1070 legislation in Arizona or on the O'odham Solidarity Across Borders Collective, you can visit their website at odhamsolidarity.blogspot.com, and I'll spell that out for you. It's odham solidarity.blogspot.com.